As we start this morning, I want to do a special thank you to Roger Werner. He is in the sound booth today. But the last time we were here on a Sunday morning, Roger made prophecy presentations to the pastoral staff. For Pastor Brandon, he was in a movie poster of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and I heard that he had a bunch of crazy relatives piled into his house. So that one came true. For Pastor Emily, he did Home Alone, and she was flying Southwest to get out of here. So you know that she did not make it. So she's been stuck home alone. But he was much kinder to me than Pastor Emily because he put me on Elf. So I had a very happy Christmas, just like Buddy the Elf. So thank you, Roger. Emily's not as happy with you as I am, though. So it's a new year. New years are exciting. Don't you just feel the hope of something new? Like, I love it. Pastor Emily talked about starting over, like just this sense that we get something new, and there's all kinds of hope. There's the resolutions that people make, and as we think about just kind of the hopes and dreams that we have for 2023, there's one thing that we do sometimes around here, where we talk about it every now and then, but it's choosing one word for the year. And it's kind of a good thing because, you know, resolutions are mostly broken by within a couple weeks or a month or so. But one word, you can choose one word and maybe that'll last. But I do want to have a word of caution. If you do choose one word, don't think that it will just magically happen over the year. I know my word, my word for the year last year was no. And it started with no and rely on the love God has for us. And it sort of morphed throughout the year. There was be still and know. And at the end of the year, I was thinking about Jesus and the sheep. My sheep know me and they hear my voice. And I got to like December 31st and I felt like I'm just getting started on no. And I'm K-N-O-W. And it's like I feel like I'm just starting to get that word and hear what God has to say to me through it. But so if you do that and you want to tell me, love to write your name down. What I do is I just kind of pray for people and their word. I've got a couple of the words and they're great so far. So if you have one and you would want a pastor to pray for you this year with that word, let me know and we will do it. A few weeks ago, Pastor Emily and I were talking about some of those things for 2023. And she said, do you know how people sometimes have one word for the year? What if we had one word for the ministry of the church? I was like, you know, I've never heard of that. I've never thought of that before. That seems like an interesting idea. And I thought for a second, and I came up with a word, and she said, well, that's the same word I was thinking of. So it seemed like a thing. So I'll reveal that word a little bit later. But again, if you have a word, love to hear it. Don't expect to master it, because it's almost like as the year goes or as we try to change, there's this gravitational pull that keeps us away from the change we want a lot of times, what we aspire to, and it can really be difficult. The scriptures talk about Satan or the devil, and what it seems like one of his strategies is to pull us away. And another one, to pull us apart from each other. A way that we might describe it is divide and conquer. Jesus seemed to acknowledge this in his ministry. And he had this famous teaching where he quoted Abraham Lincoln in Mark 3, 24 through 25. If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Okay, so maybe it wasn't Lincoln who said it first, but he gets attributed that one. But this is just such a great principle that Jesus made an observation. Lincoln made it before the Civil War, as the Civil War. Like anything that's divided, it cannot stand. So it would make perfect sense for Satan, if he really wants to destroy the church, the forces of evil, as it talks about the devil. How would you destroy the church? Division, right? How would you destroy a country, maybe? Or the United States of America? Division. Division destroys families, marriages, friendships, division. So it's interesting in thinking about this and what Jesus had to say about division. On the last night of Jesus' life, he spent a lot of time praying in the garden. And John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, records these long prayers that Jesus did, and he focused a lot on praying for his disciples, which is awesome. Because imagine, you know, you're about ready to leave, and those closest with you have this big task, and you're not going to be around to help them anymore. Like, what kind of a burden would that be? So he prays these really intense prayers for his disciples. But the cool thing that John does for us is that he didn't leave it at that. But he got to this place where he prayed for us. He prayed for those of us who are here today, those of us in the future. We're going to pick up on John 17, 20 through 23. This is Jesus praying on the last night of his life. Passionate prayer. I pray also for those who will believe in me. That's a lot of us in this room. And by the way, if you're here and you're not a Christian, we just want you to know we're grateful for your presence here. We respect you. So thank you for being in here. It shows a lot of humility and courage to be here. But for those of us who believe, Jesus prayed for us. I pray also for those who will believe in me, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought in complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. In his prayers, Jesus seemed to think that what was at stake, the big factor for whether or not people in the world believed in him was what? He uses the word a lot there. What is that word? Unity, that we'd be one. He describes that word. He says, may they be one as you and I are one. There seems to be so much, and a couple of times, so that the people will believe. It's like when there's division, the message isn't believable anymore. So Jesus, as we see in the world, it's just so easy to be divided. Like you constantly hear this if you watch the news. Has America ever been so divided? You know, you hear this, or social media or whatever. We constantly hear that word division. And in some of the year-end shows, that was a big part of it, division. And here Jesus is praying because that's just the natural pull. It's very easy to be divided. And Jesus prayed desperately for us. And what he focused on that prayer is that we would be one. Could have prayed a lot of things. Let's think about maybe why Jesus prayed that. In 1976, a fellow Irish brother in Christ named Paul Hewson teamed up with three of his friends, and they formed this band. And three of them were people of faith who followed Jesus. Following Jesus was really important to them. There's a fourth member in the band, too, who wasn't in it, but he was with them in the band. And it took a while for these four guys to succeed, but especially by the end of the 1980s, this band, Paul Hewson is also known as Bono. Maybe you've heard of him. Yeah, that's kind of a famous name. But Bono and U2, by the end of the 1980s, with the release of the Joshua Tree album, had become one of the biggest bands in the world. But as if you've ever seen like a rockumentary, you ever seen those document stories about rock bands, it's when they succeed that it gets really, really hard to stay together, because usually the bands break up. And that's what was starting to happen with these four friends. They experienced all this success, and it was all that fame brings and excesses and all those things were starting to, like they were starting to wonder, can we really stay together through this? So as they left the 80s, there was another pivotal moment going on in the history of the world, and that happened in Berlin, Germany, where the Berlin Wall fell that was dividing East Germany from West Germany. It was this big thing in the world. And seeing that wall come down, I remember seeing it in my living room. I remember, sorry, Mom, I didn't ask you for permission. Seeing my mom, the tears in her eyes, as this story that was just so impactful at the end of the 80s, seeing the wall come down. So U2, as they're heading into the 90s, had this idea. let's get inspiration by heading to Berlin, Germany to record our next album. And so they did. But there was nothing magical about being in Berlin. As they worked together on the album, things only got worse. They seemed to be just so far apart from each other. And there was this moment, recording sessions weren't going well, nothing was working. There was a lot of frustration. They were angry with each other. And they were thinking about breaking up. Maybe U2 was only going to be an 80s band. Maybe it wasn't going to make it into the 90s like so many of the others. But before they did, on this one day, they were just coming together with this song. And the way that Bono describes it is this melody just sort of overtook them. And they started working on this song. And at the beginning of it, they acknowledged their hurt and how difficult it is for relationships to stay together. Some of the words in the song go, "Well, we hurt each other, then we do it again. I can't be holding on to what you got when all you got is hurt." It was a little bit personal about the band, it's personal in relationships. Some have gone through those difficulties in relationships. And as they came together, they ended up in this hopeful end that really kind of salvaged the band. And in 2006, I believe, the BBC did a poll, reported on a VH1 poll. They asked 13,000 music listeners, "What are your favorite lyrics?" And it was these lyrics from U2, from this song called One, that were the world, the music lovers' favorite lyrics in that time. "One life with each other, sisters, brothers. We're one, but we're not the same. We get to carry each other. Popular lyrics with a lot of people from the early 90s. So we're going to leave the most popular lyrics to the most important commandment. When Jesus was asked about the most important commandment, it's interesting how he answers in Mark 12:29. "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this." Listen to how he starts. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." A lot of times with this, and I do this myself, but when we think about Jesus, what he said the most important commandment was, we think about love God, right? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Certainly true. But this is how he started the answer. And this is a prayer that was going on for thousands of years. Jesus would have prayed this every day, this prayer. So we call it the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Got to thinking, man, there are so many options for what could have been this prayer, how it could have started. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is good. The Lord our God is strong. The Lord our God is holy." But this is the prayer that the Lord chose for Jesus and the Israelites to pray for hundreds of years. "The Lord our God is one." Daily reminder of the oneness of God. One was something that Jesus talked about. In the very difficult issue of divorce, Jesus was challenged on divorce. Because in the Mosaic law, it was permissible for divorce to happen. And Jesus was challenged about it. And when he was, by the Pharisees, teachers of the law, they were trying to catch him in something that was incorrect. But this is what Jesus did. He went back to Genesis when he was asked about divorce and marriage. And he said this in Mark 10:8, when he's talking about marriage, he said, "The two shall become one flesh." God's intention for marriage is for two to become one. Obviously, we live in a world where relationships are complicated and it's a messy world. Divorce is a reality that we live with. Breakups happen. And the purpose of this isn't to shame divorce. Divorce is a painful reality that so many of us have gone through. But Jesus' intention of oneness out of two. The two shall become one. Since I saw Dan Webb had a Don't Stop Believin' t-shirt on, since we're doing bands from different eras. Let's go to another band. This one called Three Dog Night, I think. 1969. We did one by U2, there's one by Three Dog Night. And it's got some good lyrics too. These could have won as well. One is the loneliest number that you're, say it with me if you don't, that you're ever going to see. You're ever going to do, I'm sorry. Two can be as bad as one, right? It's the loneliest, yeah. And there's so much truth in that, right? One can be this great number or it can be this super lonely number. It's both. One is like, this song is like the undoing of one and just how painful it is. Jesus talked about two. This song's about one becoming two in division. It's difficult. It's painful. This is about Jesus. Again, he acknowledged it. It's the world we're in, where relationships, people break up, people, marriages split up. It happens. Moses permitted it. It's not the intention, but it's the reality of living in this fallen world. And Jesus was acknowledging, like, to be a human and to interact with other people is difficult, especially some people, right? Some people it's really difficult to interact with. Is that honest? Is that good? Is that true? Are we getting awkward? I don't know. Or are we thinking who? Who's difficult? Who's he talking about? But Jesus acknowledged that in relationships and how that happens sometimes and other people wrong us. And in that reality, Jesus talks about this process and process. He lays out a process for confronting somebody who's done something wrong to you. He says first you speak to them on the side, and if they won't listen to you, you get other people, right? And so there's this process, and in this, after Jesus talks about reconciliation and how difficult relationships can be and this difficult process for trying to figure out how to reconcile, Jesus says this in that context, Matthew 18, 19 through 20. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them. There is that gravitational pull apart, but there can be so much power in one. Jesus, after acknowledging the difficulties of reconciling, said, if there's just two, if you agree on anything, like I love how low Jesus' standards are. If there's anything that you agree on, come together as one. Like just start at the lowest common denominator. And then there's this power in coming together as one if you can find something to agree on. And he makes this great promise that if we can do that, if we can come together as one some way, that his presence is going to be there. God is present when we do that. So back to that one word that Pastor Emily thought of and that I thought of to you. It seemed to be a word for ministry this year. We're not saying this has to be your word. It's my word because I want to try to follow the word of the church. But the word for the one word that we're keeping in mind for this year is connect. Connect. And this is, I thought, this first sermon. We got five of them in January, sermons, but we're not going to forget it after January rolls around. We're heading into like Sunday school classes in February and we're going to be finding ways to connect all year long. But five messages coming. And this first one, I wanted to start with something powerful that Jesus says about connecting. It's John 15, 5 through 6. He's saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. This is such a memorable metaphor that Jesus gave us. When a branch separates from a tree or a vine, it dies. We are made to be people who are connected in some way with, and yet we, it seems like our culture, we just live increasingly feeling disconnected or isolated. And it's so difficult to feel connected. If you feel disconnected, even if you're a big part of this church and feel disconnected, that's very normal. That's kind of the way gravity pulls us apart. And one of our hopes and prayers is when we come together, we experience some encouragement and some more connection and some of that life-giving nourishment as we come together. Next, Jesus said in John 15:7, if you remain in me, in my words, remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I love that word that Jesus uses here, the translation of the NIV, remain. Some say abide. I don't know what some of the others, I didn't research them this time, but remain. And I thought about that. And I thought about my marriage. We've been married for 22 years. We've been together longer than that. But remaining together cannot be replaced. Those years that we've had together, nobody can replace the relationship that Jenny and I have. And it's because of that years, the years of remaining and the power of remaining with people, remaining with things. And sometimes you have to start over. Like, that's a reality of life. That was hard for me 6.5 years ago when we came here. At least it was our Jenny's hometown, Indianapolis. But to start over is difficult. But there is a lot of power in longevity. There's power in remaining. And Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. The more that his words remain in us, the more that we let them take root, there's power. And it's interesting, too, how he says, again, ask whatever you wish. When there's a connection, when two become one, something powerful can happen, where it's ask whatever you wish and it's going to be done. This is reflected in that song, song we sang in church when I was growing up, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And staying in relationships can be tough, and there can be drift. But without the drift, if we don't drift, and if we keep coming together, the longer that we go, the sweeter it becomes, the better. The more that we remain, the better. The more powerful, the more beautiful. So this morning, I want to congratulate you. You are off to a great start for 2022. Just getting out of bed and coming to church this morning. 2023! It already happened. We talked about that last night, didn't we? There we go. 2023, you're off to a great start. Better than me. You got out of bed. No matter how you feel this morning, you are here. You're trying to start it by connecting to something bigger than yourself. And that says a lot of good things about you. So this morning, whether you feel really connected or whether you feel totally disconnected and lonely or somewhere on that spectrum, whatever the case, wherever you feel this morning, there's some really good news. And this was expressed by Jesus' brother James. And I love how he says this. This is so simple and powerful. Come near to God and he will come near to you. All we have to do is make that first move with God. It doesn't mean we'll always feel connected or we'll always feel warm and fuzzy. But if we take a step toward God, we never have to worry about it. If we're stepping towards Christ, he will come near to us despite whatever we feel. So this morning, I'm going to do a prayer. This is a prayer to acknowledge Christ. If today you just want to, if you want to come and say, hey, you know, I believe in God. I want to be connected. I want to belong to God. I want to follow Jesus. If maybe it's the first time or maybe you just want to renew it for 2023, I've got this prayer from the scriptures of acknowledging Jesus as the Son of God and a desire to follow him and belong to God. So will you pray with me? God, I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I desire to come near to you with faith that you will come near to me. I want to receive Christ and believe in your name. May the Holy Spirit dwell in me and lead me to follow Jesus and the lead of love. Amen. We're going to, near the end, kind of close this service with this beautiful picture of oneness that Jesus left us with. He did this on the last night of his life, too. We call it communion. People call it the Lord's Supper. It's called the Eucharist. It goes by a lot of names. But it's this simple invitation to share the bread and the cup with Christ. And it's because of the greatness of God. It's because of what he's done. And we all get that invitation to just take together as one. So we're gonna do this in just a few minutes. And again, we've already explained the process. But let's close with these words from the Apostle Paul about the Lord's Supper and our oneness, and pray. Be completely humble and gentle. Some powerful words about oneness and how to get there. Humility, gentleness is required. Be patient. Oof. Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Will you pray with me? Hear, O people, the Lord our God is one, our Father in heaven. Holy is your name. You are one. You are the vine, and we are the branches. Apart from you, we can do nothing. Help us to come near to you and remain in you. May your words remain in us. Your word says how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And that's much easier said than done. So we seek your help to bring us together as one. Thank you for the gift of your body and your blood that was given in love to bring us together. May we remember you, grateful for your presence with us. May we be one in the Spirit, one in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.